But contrary to what you might expect, if we're going from felsic is lightest in color, mafic is dark in color, peridotites aren't really super dark in color. They're kind of a green color. So they don't really fit with our color scheme. But by their composition, we call them an ultramafic because they have no quartz in them. Very low silica content. So when we classify our igneous rocks, the way that we put this together is we spread all our composition terms out. So for example, you could put your ultramafic on the left, and then mafic, and then intermediate, and then felsic on the right. We're going from least silica to most silica. And then we combine that composition with the texture of the rock. So if we have a felsic, phaneritic, or coarse-grained igneous rock, we call it a granite. If it's felsic, but it's very fine-grained or aphanitic, we call it a rhyolite. And so each rock name is telling you two things. It's telling you the composition of that rock, and it's telling you how it formed. Now, let's think about how do we get rocks to melt? If you were to just go and build a fire and throw a rock in it, nothing usually happens, except it might burst and cause excitement that way. But they don't melt. So how do we go from a solid to molten? The other thing to worry about here is that most of the interior of the Earth, other than the outer core, is solid. How are we going to get these things to melt? Now, a rock will melt if the temperature around it gets high enough to hit the melting point of any one of the minerals it contains. So you don't have to hit the melting point of the highest melting point mineral, you just got to hit one of them. So, if you have a rock that is a combination of minerals, it's going to begin to melt when you hit the lowest melting point of the mineral that's going to melt first. When we hit that first minimum temperature, the first mineral is going to start to melt, and then other minerals will start to melt if the temperature continues to rise. So, rocks don't melt just all at once. It's not really like you have a burner on your stove and it's going and it's very hot and you throw a piece of plastic on it. Plastic pretty much goes liquid right off the bat. What's going to happen is each mineral is going to melt in order of melting temperature. And then, on the opposite end of the process, as your magma cools, those minerals will crystallize and become solid in the opposite order that they melted. So the first one to melt is the last one to crystallize. Now, if we get our temperature high enough, we can get everything in that rock to melt. Silicate minerals generally start melting around 800 degrees centigrade. That's very, very hot. Normal ovens don't get that hot. They can melt at temperatures as high as 2000 degrees. For example, if there's enough pressure on that rock, it's very hard for the atoms to break out of a solid state and move into a liquid state. So if your rock is under pressure, that's going to drive up the melting point of the different minerals. So if we think about rocks that are buried way, 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 way below the surface, that's a lot of pressure on those rocks. There's the weight of all the material above them, sitting on top of them. That's a lot of pressure. So you have to drive that temperature very high to get those bonds to break and shift from a solid phase into a liquid phase.